Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Praise the Lord, saints. In my hometown back in Michigan, there's been a lot of things going on, and it literally knocked me off my feet. I don't get knocked off my feet often, so pastor said, we need to get in our secret place. And so I took 24 hours. I said, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to go to the secret place. And the Lord, I took my notebook out. I just started praying, and I said, Lord, what is this? And he reminded me of Salman al-Assad, who is the king of Saudi Arabia. And he has a son named Mohammed bin Salad. And they didn't have to vote to get his son in. He was part of the royal family just because he was born as the king's son. And I have a student who is the Salih al-Abad bin, and he is 12th in line to the Saudi Empire. And the grandmother is having her 60th anniversary. She called all of the children home. Come on, somebody, are you listening? They called all of the children home. They're going to Switzerland the first week of October, and everybody has to go because they're royalty. You know, when the Holy Spirit came to live in us, the scriptures say we became the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
We're royalty.
Yes.
The Lord was telling me when I was having my time trying to figure out what was going on in Midland, he said, you're royalty. Yes. He said, there's been a divine shift. The Jews used to sacrifice buffalo and goats and doves or whatever, but we had a sacrifice called Jesus.
Amen.
And he paid the cost. He restored everything that Adam lost. Come on, somebody. Are you listening? And when he called them all home, we're going to get called home one day. Hopefully, it'll be soon. But when Jesus had that divine shift, we are no longer. This one guy I have, Salih al-Abad Manin, he just walks around. But he already knows he's royalty. He's got a plane for the first week of October. And in this power shift, he told me, Mona, I've been with you a long time. It's time for you to level up. You got to level up. He said the earth is waiting for the manifestation of his sons and daughters.
Amen.
That's you. That's me. We got to stop. Mr. Kirk, he did his thing. It's our turn now.
That's right.
I went from being upset and knocked out. The wind was knocked out of me. I'm not going to lie. I was flat out. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor brought me back. Pastor's like, wait a minute. Girl, look, get back in the book. And I took that day, and I'm here to tell you today that it's time for us to be bold. The earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. And you know what gets their attention? It don't get their attention because you go to church on Sunday.
Come on.
What gets their attention is deliverance. You get your oil out. You pray for them. Pray for them behind their back. It's time, saints. And I just had to share that. Kate was talking today, and I'm just like, everything that happened to me this last 24 hours, I just had to level up because, listen, have you ever had anything that just knocked you out? It just knocked me to my knees. I just couldn't believe it. I know every single person in this situation in my hometown, every one of them. And just like that. That's how I was. I was like, God, do I know? Yeah. And I just was in tears. I said, stop crying.
Yeah. Yep.
He said, stop all your crying. Stop all your belly aching and stop your whining.
Come on.
He said, the power has shifted. Now you need to step into it. So saints of God, I challenge you today to just step into your calling. You're a son. You're a daughter of the living God. The scriptures say we've been sealed with the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Sealed. Nothing can stop us if we speak the word. Can't walk around here in sin now. You got to get it right. You got to walk in holiness. But if you walk right there,
yep,
then you're justified. That's what he told me. That's what I had to share. Thank you so much.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Did you bring a Bible? Good. Open up to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Miss Ramona is right on point. You know, I love when God moves in his house and starts to deal with different people and different individuals and collectively, because this is what happens in the house of God where the Holy Spirit is welcomed. You may think it's a funny thing, you may think it's a foolish thing, but we don't. We're so grateful for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're grateful for the moving of the Holy Spirit, because when God begins to move, he confirms things. He begins to deal with things. And a lot of what Miss Ramona just said is what I'm preaching on this morning. Amen. Romans 1, are you there? Okay, we got one family, Sonny and Sue. Praise God. Romans 1, are you there? 16. For I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. This is personal. Now, yes, it's the Apostle Paul talking to the Roman Empire, but you got to make this personal. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it started with God's people, and when they, you know, some received, most rejected, God said, well, my word's not returning to me void, so I'm going to make sure anybody who wants this will get this. So we would fall into the Greek category. We'd fall into the Gentile category. Amen? But it starts with, I am not ashamed. Can you say that today? Well, I know you can repeat. I'm asking, can you actually declare that in your life? Now, it's easy to say that in here. If you can't say it in here, you got a problem. Now, if we can't say it in here, the problem's on me. But that's not a problem in here. You know, I just heard a preacher say this, and I don't remember exactly how he said it, but my wife looked at me and says, hey, you got the same anointing. We can preach in a way that just kind of brings our church down to a manageable level, because those who want this will come back for it. Those who don't will reject it and leave. But we're not compromising the word for anybody. We're going to preach God's word. We're going to stick with God's word, because we know God's word works. There's too many witnesses in here of it, and there's too many of us who experience the blessings. So why are we going to change now for you? No offense, 41 years, we've seen too much, we've lived too much, we know too much. We're not changing now for you. Amen. But it goes back to, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. In the last, you know, definitely 20 years or so, there have been a lot of attacks against the church to try to silence the church. There's been a lot of things that have happened to try to make the church feel ashamed of speaking about some things, dealing with some things. This whole past 2 weeks after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, I said it earlier, 9/11 was its deal, because that attack was from outside. Especially this last week, we've seen such a division in this nation. It is crystal clear now where the hatred is being directed to. There is no question about it. That, you know, Mr. Kirk, who preached, dealt with political things, yes, but he attached every political, quote-unquote, issue to the Bible, to Scripture. Everything that they're trying to make political, he's basically turned around and says, since when did morals become political? Since when did this become a political issue? Since when did, hey, listen, don't get mad at me, but if you do, there's the door behind the wall. We used to say right there, but now you got to go behind the wall. Homosexuality, when did that become political? That's a moral issue to our God. Adultery, fornication, when did that become political? That's a moral issue to our God. Drugs, alcohol, go right down the list. We're not just harping on one thing. Those are moral issues with our God, but our current society is making those political issues. So thank God for a bold man like Charlie Kirk, who would take their political stance and say, okay, now let me bring this where it really is. God has an issue with this. So what is the rebuttal to that? hatred, bigotry, fascism are all the terms that they're putting on Charlie Kirk right now. But wait, if you think that's just him, that's us. That's what they're saying about you right now, that we're fascists. We hate. No, Jesus beheld him, loved him, and said something so hard to him because he loved him, it was an eternal matter with him. Just because society doesn't like it doesn't make it not love. Just because we deal with things in the house of God doesn't mean that we don't love. I've said this different ways over the past several weeks. We're not pointing our finger out. We're stretching a hand out. Because this world is sinking quick. America's going under if it stays on the course it's on. Regardless of who's in office. We may have a couple of years because this one likes us, but then the next one won't. We've got this weird wave, up, down, up, down. I don't see that changing. What's going to have to change is what happens in here. What's going to have to change is what happens in your homes. And it happens in your own personal walk. You've got to get to this, not just simply saying in the house of God on a Sunday morning, I'm not ashamed, but does your life say you're not ashamed? Does your relationship say you're not ashamed? Do they know in the workplace you're not ashamed? Or have you been shifted? Well, I'm not ashamed, but we're just not going to get into politics. Have you figured it out? There's nothing political about anything they're saying anymore? Nothing. I don't think they even know what politics are anymore. How sick and backfallen, backslidden are we as a nation where a man can be assassinated and we have our own government officials mocking, attacking, and saying he got what he deserved? And we voted those idiots in. Now, maybe you didn't, but we as a society did. And in the quote-unquote Christian nation, 30, 40 years ago, that never would have happened. Something happened in this nation. And what happened is churches, believers, preachers became ashamed of the gospel. We used to come to church because we knew this is where healing was. We used to come to church because we knew this is where deliverance was. We used to come here because this is where the answers were. Somebody became ashamed. Somebody backed off. Somebody stopped saying certain things because we don't want to offend anybody. Okay, well, how many people have we not offended that may even be in hell today because we became ashamed? You know, I'm 50. Half a century. I've watched a lot of people go to the grave that I question. I'm not judging, but I question, did they really make heaven? Now, I'm not judging the world or questioning the world. I'm judging people in the house of God who used to attend church, used to serve in church, and I'm questioning, did they make heaven? And I don't have peace anymore about certain people. Not because of my opinion, not because of a denominational deal, because this says something contrary. Because of the lifestyle, what they were doing, how they were treating, how they were acting. And God said, when you do these things, practice these things. Hold on to these things. Those who do these things shall not inherit. If red letters say, Jesus says, they shall not inherit, then what makes you and I think that we can excuse away? Somebody became ashamed. Now, I'm dealing with this first. I always deal with this first. It starts right here in the pulpit. If we have preachers who are ashamed, we're going to have congregations that are ashamed. If we have preachers who won't make bold stands and just preach what this says, then we're not going to have believers that live what this says. You know? I am not ashamed. Say that. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, the gospel's good news. Yeah, it is. But what else does it say? For it is the power of God. Unto salvation. Sozo. Saved. Healed. Delivered. Made whole. Made to prosper. Prosper there is not money. It's advancement. It's promotion. That means you're growing in the things of God. You're advancing in the things of God. Today you came in and found out I can go to heaven. Tomorrow, hopefully, you find out, wait a minute, I can be healed on my way to heaven. I should grow, and I can find out I can be delivered on my way to heaven. Amen. Advancing in the things of God, growing in the things of God. It's all part of the salvation package. But it starts with, I'm not ashamed. I understand it's this word and somebody bold enough to preach this word that changed my eternal destination, that saved my life, dealt with me, addressed me, that I don't have to go to hell or live like I'm in hell on my way to heaven. Amen. Somebody was bold enough to preach this. Amen. It takes a bold preacher. But wait a minute. I'm not going to reach everybody you come in contact with. It takes bold believers to live this. Because we see this all, I'll say it this way. We see this through church history. Bold preachers all over the place. But where are the believers? Now, the reality is there are a lot of bold believers. There's a lot of believers that, have been martyred. There's been a lot of believers that have been taken out because of their bold stand. You just hardly ever hear about them. But I'm going to tell you right now, I know this to be true. When we get to heaven, the preachers who had a name down here, they're going to be in the back of the line. Those believers who weren't out in front of the stream, who lived this out there, that when we get to heaven, those are the ones who are going to be in the front of the line saying, those are my sons and daughters. Those were bold believers. They preached. They did. They kept going. They kept, even when nobody was watching, they lived this. They walked this. They didn't care what people were saying. They lived this. They walked this. Amen? But it goes back. I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I can't be silenced. I don't care how much you dislike what we preach, how much you disapprove of what we preach of. I don't care how many people you've listened to and said contrary to what this, well, we don't have to do. We don't have to live. We don't have to. I don't care who you're listening to. It's not going to change because I've seen this. I've seen this work. It's easy to say something doesn't work when you don't work it. But when you've worked this, just take our ministry, 41 years of ministry. When you've worked this for 41 years and it keeps proving itself over and over and over again, you in your 30s, I don't care what you think when I've got 40 years of proof. I'm not ashamed of this. Just because you are, we're not. But it takes boldness to stand in that place of not being ashamed. It takes the Holy Ghost that so many people are saying, well, that's foolish, that's ridiculous. It takes the Holy Spirit to walk in that type of boldness in the day that we live in today. Amen? If you have a Bible, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I don't have enough time to preach everything on the Holy Spirit, but I'm talking about boldness this morning. Again, it's easy to say you're not ashamed in here. Does your life speak it, declare it out there? Acts chapter 1, let's start in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, red letters, ye have heard of me. Now, what was heard of him? Now, he's starting to talk about John the Baptist. He's like, listen, remember there was one, a voice in the wilderness, who said, I'm baptizing in water for the remission of sins, but there comes one after me that is greater than I am, that I baptize in water, but he's going to baptize with fire. That's what he's making reference to right now. And it says that, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 6, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? I think that question fits even today, because right now the question is, and we say it, we're not like living in fear and God get us out of here, but no, come on, the rapture, may it happen soon. But saying may it happen soon and Lord, where are you? Are two entirely different things. See, Jesus has to deal with their attitude. He's got to deal with their heart right now, because right now they know something's changing. Jesus has died. He was killed. He was risen from the dead. Now he's with him, and they don't understand, but he's about to leave. But they're about to figure this out in just a moment. But Jesus begins to deal with them and says, listen, you are about to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We see this even in his ministry time. He says, listen, it's better that I should go, because when I go, I will send another. Talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the helper, and he's going to help you. He's going to lead you. He says even he's going to be, one of his assignments, he's going to be the great teacher. He's not going to teach you anything of his own. He's going to teach you and remind you of the things that I spoke and I taught. And then Jesus made that clear. He said, listen, I didn't come in and preach and teach on my own. I only came to say what the Father told me to say. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all in agreement, all preaching the same thing. But it's the Holy Spirit's job in your life and my life to help us to get better revelation and understanding of the things that Jesus spoke of. Amen? But that's not the only thing he's doing. He's bringing an anointing with him that's supposed to baptize our lives, not just our Sunday mornings, baptize our lives. Every part, every facet of it. Amen? And then he goes on to say in verse 7, he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Say power. You shall receive power. That wasn't just 2,000 years ago. Each and every time a believer says, Jesus, you're my Lord. Jesus, I need this power. He says, it comes with the Holy Ghost. So what happens when you're mocking the Holy Ghost? Not very deep. Even the front row gets it. Not deep. When you start mocking the very things that bring the power, when you start mocking the very things that brings the anointing, when you start mocking the very thing and the one who brought your salvation, what brings you to that place of mocking? Ashamed. Why? Because somebody doesn't like your Christ? Because somebody doesn't like your church? Because somebody doesn't like your preacher? Because somebody doesn't like the things and the principles of God? Because somebody doesn't like those things and they mouth off to you, now you're going to back, well, Well, the preacher on the other side of the city said the tithing's not for today. Oh. Well, I'm glad he feels that way. I didn't realize that we had a new book in our Bible, so now we have 67 books. The book called The Book of the Wackadoodle. Who thinks he knows more than God? And God has given him permission now to change what God has to say about the holy tithe. That not just for 2,000, but for 5,000 years he established in his scriptures about what it is, how to present it, where to present it, what it does, why it works, how it's to be received, what's to be done with it. I'm sorry, I didn't realize Mr. Wackadoodle has more knowledge than God now. Well, this preacher down the street said, well, I don't care what they have to say. They're not my Christ. Amen. Well, I have friends that go, sorry. Well, could you not preach? I have so-and-so coming. Sorry. You may be ashamed. I'm not. And if I change a message for one, then I got to change a message for everyone. So I'm just going to stick with the one who told me to preach. And if you come back next week, praise God. If not, oh well. Well, that's mean. No, that's love. How is that love? Because I love you enough to preach this even if you don't want to hear it. Because this is the only thing that's going to bring life. This is the only thing that's going to bring healing. This is the only thing that's going to bring deliverance, because it's the power of God. I'm not ashamed of this. You can't be ashamed of this if we're going to live what this says you can live. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Say witnesses. Witnesses. You shall be witnesses. What does that mean? Well, if you're ever called to a courtroom and you're ever called to be a witness on the stand, it's your job to give without perjury, to give an accurate account of an individual or circumstance or whatever took place. You're there to, I'm a witness. I saw this. I was partaking of this. I witnessed it. You and I, we're going to be witnesses of the power that comes upon us through the great Holy Spirit. It's our job to be a witness of Him. Now, people have twisted this, because one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is He's the advocate. And I've heard preachers preach this, and it's wrong, that He's our advocate. No, He's not. He's Jesus' advocate. It's His job to point us to Jesus. It's not His job to point Jesus to us. We've got that twisted in the body of Christ. Now, Him being our advocate, yes, He's going to help us, He's going to promote us, He's going to lead us, He's going to deal with us, but the goal, the job is, He's pointing us to Him, not the other way around. We're going to be witnesses of, and Jesus said this, He said, you shall receive power, and you're going to be a witness of receiving that power. Well, what does that mean? What's it going to do? It's just going to make me bold? Well, that's part of it. But it doesn't just make you bold. It makes you bold because you start to experience things you've never experienced before. It makes you bold because you start to understand things you never understood before. It starts to deal with you and bring you peace in ways that you'd never understood you could have, because now you understand things you never understood. Now, forgive the illustration. I haven't given this in several years, and I hate this illustration, but it kind of tiny bit fits. Years ago, I was working in one of the dealerships I was at, and, you know, working in the back end of the shop and just dealing with things. And, of course, we had some issues with some guys there, and they're just mouthy and causing issues and causing problems. And because of the way we were set up as a shop, they couldn't just fire these guys, so there had to be a process and a procedure that went through and blah, blah, blah. I do have a problem. I've gotten much better with it over the years, and now it's kind of shifted from much better for the things of God, but I've always been very stubborn. I know it's hard to believe for some of you. So when I have something in my head, good luck. God Himself is going to have to get that out of my head. That's just how I've always been. So anyways, you know, these guys are doing their thing, and they were thieves. They were robbing customers, and of course that affects all of us and gives us a bad name. So I've grown a lot. I would mouth off. But I wasn't the only one mouthing off. But because I was one of the big people kind of mouthing, like, listen, this is ridiculous. It's hurting all of us. I was dealing with, I was addressing. Me and another gentleman, you know, who was a good friend of mine, you know, we would, you know, just deal with these things, you know. And, of course, we would deal with these things, though it wasn't our place to deal with these things. So we were creating issues for ourselves. Anyways, long story short, at the end of, you know, one of our shifts, we're all leaving and everybody's gone except for me, my buddy, and these two other guys who are causing trouble and causing problems. Well, one of them is a steroid junkie. The other one had just gotten out of the military, and I have, you guys know my respect for our military armed forces. This gentleman was nuts. He was broken. And he, like, legit, he was nuts. And, you know, I'm not stupid. I don't care how old. My grandfather was in his 90s, and I still had an utmost respect for him because I know that military training was still with him. And in his 90s, if he so chose, I'd be gone. I am fully aware of that. So I say that with the respect. But here they come. They're mouthing off. And this isn't just mouthing off night. This is a we're going to take you out night. My first instinct, my first mind was like, okay, tonight's the night I die. Because if it's not one, it's the other. I'll end up in the dumpster. Great. Nobody will know I'm there. But then my buddy's standing beside me. My buddy was more nuts than they were combined. He was bigger than both of them combined. And I also knew that he was probably packing something, which was a big no-no against policy. But I knew he had something. He had more power than they had. I know this is a stupid illustration, but it's the only one I got. In that moment, I had the first initial, oh my word, tonight's the night I die, and then that quickly shifted, wait a minute, I'm with my buddy. Today is not the day I die. They may die, we may be going to jail, but I'm not dying today. Why? Because I knew something. I knew something that they didn't know. I knew something they did not know. When the power of God comes upon us, we're going to be witnesses of Him, because when that power comes on, we're going to know things the world doesn't know. We're going to experience things the world hasn't experienced yet. We're going to see things that the world has yet to experience, but we're going to be witnesses of it, because not only do we know some things, we're going to start seeing some things. We're going to be partakers and carriers of those things. Amen. So he says, you're going to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. That includes Gardner, Massachusetts. Amen. So he says, go and wait. Go and wait, which means you cannot do this without the power of God. You cannot do this without the anointing of God. Peter, you may have some boldness. You took the priest servant's ear off in a fit of rage, but that's not boldness. That's emotion. Boldness and emotion are two entirely different things. Emotion will get you in trouble. Boldness will stabilize you. Boldness will keep you. Amen? So he says you need this power. You need this boldness. Amen? And we know boldness is attached to it. So if we get to chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. Not the car, but in church. They were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly, say suddenly. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't a rush of mighty wind. It was as a, they heard something going on in the spirit. Something, what was going on in the spirit was starting to affect things in the natural. Something was shifting, something was changing. But it all started with the fact that, wait a minute, they listened to what Jesus said. He said, wait. They're ready to go. Jesus has walked out of the tomb. Come on, they got wind back in their sails. They're ready to preach now. And Jesus said, no. You can't do it just yet. You need power. Because this emotion right now will be short-lived. But once the power comes and boldness comes with it, it's going to stabilize you and establish you. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were all sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as unto fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all, say all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. So one of the first signs that we see, and one of the evidences, one of the evidences is that speaking in new tongues. Now that's a two-part deal. One is that great heavenly language, our prayer language. And if you study out the Greek and you find out that it's attached to this word, it's an angelic tongue, it's glossolalia is the Greek word, Koine Greek. And it's an unspoken tongue on this earth. And I don't have time to go into the whole linguistic deal of it, but even professionals have proven we can't explain it. It's not a language that's ever been on this earth, but it is a language nonetheless. Well, of course you haven't. It's from heaven. So there's that heavenly language. But how about your speech begins to change? How about when God says, listen, don't give it a second thought as far as what you're going to do when they arrest you, when they come against you, when they attack you. Don't think about what you're going to say. Don't meditate about what you're going to say, but I will give you the words at that moment to say. When we're trusting God, believing God, falling with God, that I don't need to know what to say about every circumstance. I just am so grateful I walk with the one who does know what to say in every circumstance. All I have to do is trust Him, and when the Holy Spirit gives me utterance, I will say what He says to say. I've dealt with issues in our life. I've dealt with issues in our ministry, not knowing what to do, how to handle, what to say, how to address, but I'd make a statement, and afterwards I'd go, where did that come from? Not realizing that one statement, which seemed to have nothing behind it, shut down an attack that was going on that was pretty relentless at that time with one utterance on a phrase that I had never used before. Didn't even really know what I was saying. But the Holy Spirit said, say this. And I said that, and it shut down. And it not just shut down the attack for a moment, silenced them. Haven't heard from them ever since. And it's been 14, 15 years. That attack is long gone. That attacker is long gone. But the point being is the Holy Spirit will give you, yes, our prayer language, but also He'll give you words. He'll deposit things in your spirit to say when you don't know what to say or how to handle or what to do. See, this power is not just as I'm speaking, as I'm doing, but it's in here. How to deal with, how to address, how to move forward, how to mobilize, how to stabilize. Amen. So now let's go over to, if we go through the rest of chapter 2, you find out that, you know, the city begins to hear them. They're excited. Man, the move of God hit that place, and they're excited. They're preaching to one another. They're praying in tongues. The city can hear that they're speaking in their own language. That's another whole deal. When the Holy Spirit gives you words, you begin to say things, and the Holy Spirit translates for other people that aren't even born again. Come on. Power. You'll be endued with power. You can't make that happen. He does that. Amen. So they begin to hear this. They think that they're drunk. And then Peter. See, Peter had wind put back into his sails a few moments ago because Jesus died. He denied Christ. He ran off and went back to his secular job. Jesus found him. Jesus witnessed and fellowshiped with him. Jesus said, okay, now this is that part I told you about. When I bring you back, now, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, yes, yes. Feed, feed, feed. And Jesus begins to deal with him. Peter's now, he's got wind back in his sails. Not only is my Savior back from the grave, but he loved me so much, he found me. He reestablished me back in the ministry. He gave me an assignment. He didn't take the assignment from me. He reestablished the assignment for me. He's got wind back in his sails. But this is still the same guy that all it took was one little girl to say, aren't you one of those Jesus freaks? Aren't you one of those followers? Oh, no, 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 no. He was ashamed. Why? Who cares what the world, who cares what some little girl thinks? But he was ashamed nonetheless. He's got wind back in his sail, but just because he's got wind back in his sails because of the emotional side doesn't mean that's going to solidify him. God needs to endue him with power to stabilize him, because if not, he'll spend the rest of his ministry up and down, in and out. So he gets baptized with the Holy Spirit. Power comes upon him. He's now stabilized because this is not just, wow. This wasn't just a goosebump. Something changed on the inside of him. And now he begins to preach. When they're mocking, making fun of, he says, no, 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 we're not drunk as you suppose. This is that which the prophet Joel spoke of. And he begins to quote, we call it the Old Testament. He begins to quote the prophet Joel. He begins to explain, no, this is the Holy Spirit that's come upon, and our sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Our maids and our maidservants, they're going to prophesy, and they're going to preach, and they're going to go, and they're going to do. Amen? And he begins to go through. But what so impresses me about this moment, this boldness that comes upon him, he could have just treated this like most of our preachers do today. Let me preach a nice little simple message. Let me try to explain to you what's going on. Let me maybe make a joke or two so you like what I'm saying. No, he gets so deep into this. He says, you know, this thing that's come upon us, this is that which Jesus spoke, whom you crucified, who you mocked, who you put to the grave, who you think is a joke. He's the one, not who did, is doing right now. The very one you tried to silence is the one who's causing this. He didn't say, listen, we finally got it. Look at how good we are. No, he put everything back on Jesus. You're so impressed by what's going on. This is a result of him. Not because of us, but because of him. And he deals with Jesus in them, not Peter in them, Jesus in them. With boldness. And of course it says that it King James says, pricked their hearts, pierced their hearts, saying, wait a minute, we did do that. Some of them were just caught up in the moment. That's society. We see that everywhere. But others of them, it was deliberate. But it was when Peter had this boldness that began to preach, this is because of Jesus. The ones that you hate, the one that you mock, the one that you ridicule, the one that you insult with your behavior, the one that you insult with your gossip, the one that you insult with your little text messages, the one that you insult with your private little Bible studies, the one that you insult, he's the one who's working the miracles in here. That's the one you're insulting. That's the one that you've attacked. Well, that's not a very nice message. But it's truth. And because it's truth, it's love. Because if they're ever going to have a chance of having what Peter has, they got to understand, stop attacking the one who brings it. You need the one who you crucified to bring that. You want to go to heaven, you need the one you crucified to get there. He had to be bold enough to speak, no, it's Jesus. It's only and always only been him. There is no other way. And of course it says it pricked their hearts. Then they said, well, what must we do? Great question. Not the first time we've heard that. Not the first time we've heard that today. What must I do to obtain? What must we do to obtain? Peter said, repent. Get baptized. Follow Jesus. 3,000. 3,000 in that moment were added. 3,000 because one preacher who used to be ashamed got filled with the Spirit, who's no longer ashamed, preached with boldness. 3,000 men or 3,000 souls came into the kingdom with one message. Why? Because he had some great message? Because he was some terrific orator? No, it's because of the boldness to preach truth, because it isn't Peter. It isn't his boldness. It's the gospel. It's the good news that only Jesus can bring through his word, because this is the power of God unto salvation. You can preach whatever you want, but if it's not this, salvation ain't coming. You can have a head salvation. You can have a thought of what you think salvation is. But without this being preached boldly into somebody's life, salvation's not coming. Because you won't understand who your Christ is, what he did for you, and what it will do to you. Amen. So then, as we continue to go, chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and asked for alms. Should have been asking for legs. Asked for alms, and them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John, well, Pastor, didn't you say about jokes? I just wanted to make sure you're still listening. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of alms, and Peter fastened his eyes. Wait a minute. Didn't we just read this at offering time? Jesus beheld him, beholding him. Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John. Same thing. Nobody else matters right now. This man right here has a need, and we have the answer. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. I love that. Look on us. Get your eyes off of everything else you're paying attention to. Get your face and your head off the internet. Get your ears off of all those podcasts you're listening to. And listen to your preacher right now. The answer that you need is in this book. The answer that you need is your Jesus. Stop chasing all that other stuff and listen to what I'm about to say. It may hurt your flesh, but it's going to save your life. Look on us. And he gave heed. Thank you, Jesus. He did this because most people don't do this today. Don't give me that. You're just wound up and ticked off like the rest of the magma because you just, you know, Charlie Kirk and everything. No, I'm ticked off because of sin. I'm ticked off because of what's happening in my nation. I'm ticked off because of coward preachers who won't preach with boldness anymore. And then we wonder why we're losing the church. We wonder why people are going through so many issues and problems in their life. We wonder why marriages are falling apart, why kids are going sideways and going back to the world, because preachers don't have the backbone to preach what the Word of God says anymore. That's what I'm ticked off about. Amen. But thank God, this man, it says, he gave heed. Just as Peter was fastened, fixed, nothing else mattered to Peter, nothing else mattered to this man. Why? Because he saw something different about Peter. I'm sure, because I know the church, so do you. I'm sure there were many people walking by this guy. Oh, don't worry, son. God's got a plan for you. Just keep trusting in God's perfect time, in God's will. I mean, we've got all little stupid churchy sayings. I'm sure this guy had heard and heard and heard all the same things some of you have heard. But when Peter said, he saw something about Peter. He heard something different in his voice, which caused him to say, wait a minute, I need to listen to this one. And he gave heed unto them, expecting. I've listened to a lot of people. I don't expect much from them. I've gotten around a lot of Christians. I don't expect much. No offense, but I don't expect much from them. I've been around a lot of preachers. I don't expect much from them. But I've been around a few that when they open up their mouths, I expect something from them. Not because they're better orators, not because they look better, not because they have more money, not because of any of that, but when they speak, there's something in the tone, there's something behind the words, there's something, it's called the Holy Spirit. It's called power. That when they open up their mouths, something is different about that. I expect something. God's about to do something. This man gave heed, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw walking and praising, and they knew it was he which had sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now, you know, we dealt with this miracle series. We're not really done with it, but, you know, purposes of miracles. It gets the attention. People see things. Everybody in this city knew this guy. And now they're, wait a minute. Isn't that Billy Bob? The guy can't walk. Why is he walking? How is he walking? Wait a minute, he's not just walking, he's leaping, the guy's running around. What on earth happened? This isn't a normal practice. Something's going on, it's getting the attention of everybody. And then of course we go through verse 11, you know, the lame man, which was healed with Peter and John, they together in the porch. So now they come out of the church and now they're preaching. What better thing to preach? You want to see the power of God in action? Billy Bob. You all know Billy Bob. Billy Bob hasn't walked over 40 years from his mother's womb, never walked. Billy Bob can walk now. Well, how did that happen? You guys you must have a special anointing. Not us. Jesus did this. The same Jesus that you crucified did this. The same Jesus that you mock did this. The same Jesus that you insult with your lifestyle did this. That Jesus is still healing today. Jesus did this. And of course, you know, we know the Pharisees show up, the Sadducees show up, they're ticked off, they're mad, they arrest Peter. How can you arrest two guys when a great miracle took place? How? Look around today. How? We're living it today. People are getting saved, set free, delivered, healed by the same name of Jesus, by the same power of Jesus Christ. And the world not only hates us, but it's not really the world anymore. It's the religious ones who do not like the fact that we don't want to do it this way. We want to insult this Christ. We don't want to serve this Christ. We just want everything he said we could have. And when we can't, because we won't do, you can't have, so we'll take it out. That's what's happening right now. So Peter, John, they get arrested. Let's see. Let's go to chapter 4. I'm almost done, I promise. So they're arrested. They're going back and forth on this whole deal. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and as they spake unto the people, this is where they get arrested. Verse 5, and it came to pass unto the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, and it lists all these wackadoodles, because they're all nuts. No different. You can put, never mind, I was going to say put names there. Don't put names there. Verse 8, let's see, actually verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, think about this. These two men, these two preachers, they're standing in the court. They're surrounded by people who do not like them, surrounded by people who hate their Jesus, surrounded by some of the very people who actually caused Jesus to go to the cross. And they know, Peter and John know who's out in the crowd. That's the one who put Jesus to the cross. That's the one who stirred this one. That's the one who conspired with Judas. That's the one. They know who they are. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Peter doesn't say, we did this. Peter doesn't say, we're anointed to do this. Peter doesn't say, while this great anointing came on us and we moved and we said no. Peter says, wait a minute. You want to know who did this? The Jesus you hate did this. And then, of course, they go on to quote some scriptures and deal with some things. Verse 13, it says, and when they saw the boldness, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, when they saw, we've got a problem now. We're not going to be able to shut these guys up. This is something different. This man who was once ashamed is no longer ashamed. This man has tapped into something we can't explain. We have a problem. Well, of course the world has a problem when true believers get their backbone. Because when we've walked with Jesus, I don't care what you do. We're not changing who we are. We're not changing what we believe. We're not changing, we're not backing down, and we're just going to keep preaching what we know to preach. Amen. So when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. I love this. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What did Jesus say when this power comes upon you? You'll be a witness. You do not have to go running around and saying, I'm a Christian. You don't have to go running around saying, I've got the power of God dwelling on the inside of me, because after all, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to go running around. Your lifestyle, your actions, and your boldness will declare to the world, these men have been with Jesus. Miss Ramona's been with Jesus. Amen. People will see there's something different about them, and we can't explain it other than, wait a minute, they've been with Jesus. But wait a minute, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross, and they're still saying that today. These people are weird. We can tell there's something different about them. They don't just talk about this Jesus. They've been with him. You don't talk that way. You don't act that way. You don't have that backbone. You don't have that boldness unless you've been with the one who raised himself from the grave, who's seated at the right hand and shortly is coming back for them. You don't act like that unless you've been with him. They recognize something, because when that power came on, a holy boldness, not a holy arrogance. See, the world would say today that this is arrogance. No, this is boldness. I know my Savior. I know my God. Amen. Verse 14, it says, beholding the man that was healed, standing with them, they could not say anything against it. A bunch of stinking nuts. Guy gets a miracle. Arrest them. Okay, you want to get political right now? This guy's a burden on society.
Right.
Now he can contribute.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be on welfare any longer.
Right.
Isn't that the goal?
Yeah.
There, Jesus made a political move to heal him so he was no longer a burden on society. Now he can contribute. But we have a problem with that, because that proves that the power of God still works. That proves that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is God. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. That proves everything we don't like, because that exposes everything that's wrong about us. So here they are. They can't deny it. They can't refute it. Just like some of you sitting here this morning. Oh, your friends, your family don't like the fact that you're in church on a Sunday morning in 2025. But also some of those friends can't deny the fact that something's different about you. You're not that same person we used to party with. You're not that same person we used to drink with. You're not that same person we used to drug with. You're not that same person we used to do all those stupid things with. You're not the same person. They can't deny that something's different about you. They don't like it. Most of them can't explain it, but they can't deny it, that something is different about you. Amen? So when they had, verse 15, when they had commanded them to go outside or go aside so they could counsel and confer among themselves, saying, "What shall we do unto these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwelleth in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." We can't deny that God is still working in that church. We can't deny that God is still doing and healing and delivering people in that church. We can't deny it. We just don't like it, but we can't deny it, because people walk in one way and they walk out another. We can't deny it. 16, saying, "What shall we do unto these men?" Again, verse 17, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them." More severely threaten them. If you preach in this name again, we're going to kill you. We got to get more severe about it. We're going to kill you until you're dead. Like, what? Exactly. It's no different than Nebuchadnezzar. Ticked off. They're throwing the boys into the crematory. Turn it up 7 times. Hot is hot. Fire is fire. What are you doing? But it shows how stupid people get when sin is involved. So that we're going to threaten them even more, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. We're going to do everything we can to make them ashamed of this name. You know what they were saying? If we can't shut you up and you don't listen to our threatenings, we'll go after your family. We'll go after your business. We'll go after your preacher. We'll go after your jobs. We'll write laws against you. If you continue to preach in this name, you continue to declare this name, this isn't just where we live today. This has always been going on. We will make laws against you. So if you keep going in this name, we'll find another way to come at you. So now what are you going to do? The whole purpose is to make us ashamed. Well, I love my Jesus. I don't care if I die. I don't care if I go to jail. I don't care. I don't care. But what about my family? What about my business? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. Amen. And they called them. So they called them back in and commanded them not to speak in the name nor teach in this name of Jesus. But Peter and John. I love this. This but is a good but. Because this but right here in verse 19 negates everything they just said.
Yeah.
It negates everything that they schemed.
Yeah.
But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard." So whether you think it's right to kill us and shut us up, do what you're going to do. Whether you think you have some special assignment from heaven, like some of these people today, "I'm the only one in that church not deceived." Then why are you here? Because God has assigned me to expose the deception. So whether you think you're called of God to be an idiot in this house, you're just going to frustrate yourself, because we're not changing from the Word of God. Again, 41 years of ministry, 41 years of the same gospel, 41 years of the same word, 41 years of the same Bible, 41 of the same doctrine, 41 years of the same spirit moving, 41 years that nothing has changed here. You think you in your 30s, 40s, 20s, teens is going to change what we're preaching now? So whether you think you're called by God or not to try to frustrate us, let me help you something. You're going to be frustrated because we're not changing. We're sticking with the book.
Amen.
Amen. That's not arrogance. We're going to love you enough not to cast you out, toss you out, hoping that you humble yourself before your God before it's too late. But we cannot but speak. Tithing's not for today. Sorry, don't waste your breath. We've seen too much. We've experienced too much. We've watched God honor his word over and over and over and over again. Speaking in tongues is foolish. Well, maybe to you, but not to us. Don't waste your breath. We're not ashamed. We're going to continue to pray, praise, sing in the Holy Ghost because we know it builds us up. We can pray things when we don't know what to pray. It brings strength. Oh, by the way, it's part of the armory that you're supposed to have by the armor of God. So you're marking the armor of God. Okay. Don't waste your breath. We're not ashamed here. You may be, we're not. We can't help but speak what we've seen and heard. We've witnessed it. We know too much. We've seen too much. Sorry, you're not changing us now. You should have shown up maybe 40 years ago. And even then, I knew my father-in-law, it wouldn't have changed him. When he met Jesus, he met Jesus. He didn't meet the image of, he met the person of. And you weren't going to change him from anything he believed. Amen? So when they had further threatened, verse 21, they let them go, finding nothing that they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which he had done. See, if the church can figure this out. If these stinking spineless preachers could figure this out. That when we preach God's word with boldness, and that boldness gets into the people, into the pews, and it goes out there, it starts to shut down all the voices out there because they're not afraid of me, they're afraid of you. That's why they go after me. But when the church rises up and says, wait a minute, we all believe the same thing. We're all doing the same thing. They're afraid of the church getting its backbone. That's why they let them go. They weren't afraid of Peter and John. They would have crucified them just like they did Jesus. They didn't give a second thought about that. Their concern was the people. Because the people said, wait a minute, we saw God do. We saw this Jesus heal. Jesus is still working. Jesus is still here. We need this Jesus. Amen. So verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company. They didn't go to the internet. They didn't go to Facebook. They didn't go to Twitter or Tweeter. They went to their own company. They went to church and reported all. They didn't hold anything back. Hey, this is what they're doing. This is why they're ticked off. This is why we got arrested. They don't like our Jesus. They don't like your Jesus. Therefore, they don't like you. They didn't sugarcoat it. This is what's going on, and this is what they threaten. This is how they threaten us. And when they had heard, they lifted up their voices to God, the church, with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God.
Hallelujah.
They didn't say, oh my God, where are you, God? They said, wait a minute, you are God. Not them, you are.
Yes.
Which has made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them. By the mouth of the servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now, I preached on that not too long ago. That's in the book of Psalms. Amen. And the next part of that builds strength, boldness, saying, because it says, and God laughed. The world mouths off. The world attacks. The world ridicules. The world insults. They try to belittle. They try to insult. They try to make us ashamed. They, you know, I'm sure some of you heard this. Oh, don't give me that religious thing. That's just a crutch. Don't give me this thing. And, of course, some of the things that we've heard this week. All these college campuses, all these Christians coming together, you know, having, you know, just moments to honor Charlie Kirk and worship God and praise God. And these demon-possessed people that are showing up and don't give us your salvation. No different. But that the psalmist says, and God laughed from his throne because he knew what he was about to do. This is what they're quoting. This is what they're saying. They're going right to the verse saying, wait a minute, you're still God. You hear what they're saying. Just like you've always heard what they're saying. You see what they're doing. You've always seen what they've been doing. And from your throne, you've always laughed when man thinks they can take out God. Because God knows what God is about to do. So if they're attacking us, your people, that means they're attacking our God. So the attack isn't on us, it's on you. Which means you're laughing from your throne, which means you've got the answer to this. You're going to deal with some things right now. They didn't get into this place of whining and pining and crying and, oh God, where are you? Can't you see what they're saying? Can't you see what they're doing? Why have you fallen off your throne? Why have you forsaken us? No, they got back to the place and said, wait a minute, you're God. You're God. We're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of what you're doing. You are God. They're building themselves up, reminding themselves who their God is. 27, it says, and of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord. Now, they're not reminding God like he forgot. They're reminding themselves. Wait a minute. They conspired against Jesus. They put him in the grave, but the grave couldn't hold him. And if the grave can't hold our God, then whatever they're scheming against us isn't going to fly either. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, plural, with all, say it.
Boldness.
Say it louder than that.
Boldness.
Say it like you mean it.
Boldness.
With all boldness, that they may speak thy word. We won't be silenced.
Amen.
Lord, give us boldness. Give us an anointing to be able to speak your word in the face of our enemy. Give us a boldness and an anointing to speak your word even in the face of death itself. Give us a boldness right now to declare what we know to be true because we know you are true. And not just preach the word, but by stretching forth thine hand to heal. You went to church after the doctor gave you that diagnosis and you had the elders. What are elders? Bunch of old people in the church? So old that they don't even know what death is itself? That they prayed over you? That's stupid. Really? Well, then explain why the cancer diagnosis is now gone.
Right.
Explain why that person who was supposed to die on Tuesday night was being discharged from the hospital on Friday.
Right.
Explain why that tumor began to shrink and shrivel. Explain why, and explain why, because you can't explain it because God is still healing. So not only have boldness to preach, but boldness to lay hands and do what God told us to do. That we would lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Amen. So with that one, finish that verse 30, stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Not because of us. Not because of a church's name, not because of a denomination, but may Jesus, may his name, this isn't making him famous. This is making a bold stand that's saying, it's not us, it's him. It's always been him, will always be him. We're just a mere vessel for him that he can, as we speak, he does. As we pray, he does. As we lay hands, he does. Amen. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And they were assembled together, and when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, they spake the word of God with boldness. And of course, if we continue with the verses, we can see that this great power caused the church to grow, people to get saved, set free, delivered, healed. But the Holy Spirit, every time there was a unity, this is what happens in these moments if we don't lose the moment. Then when people start to realize, wait a minute, there is an attack against the church. There is an attack on our Christ. There is an attack on believers. That when the church says, all right, enough's enough, we need to get our backbone once again. We need to get that boldness once again. We got to stand once again for the things that we really do believe. When the church starts to say, enough's enough, not in arrogance, not in this militant we need to take on the world, but saying, Lord, You hear what they're doing. You see what they're doing. Come on, even the world sees what they're doing right now. Even their own party is bailing on them for some of the things that they're doing right now. We got people across countries, across this nation, appalled by the Christian nation with what they're witnessing right now. God knows what's going on. So it's not going to God saying, "Don't you see?" Of course he does. But it's going to God saying, "Lord, do you see me? I'm not ashamed of your gospel. I need your anointing for this day. I need more anointing for this hour. I need to be bolder than ever before. I need to be able to speak your word, preach your word, to declare your word to my friends, my family." Amen. Bolder than ever before. You know, and some of these friends that have been mocking my faith, mocking my church attendance, mocking my tithing, mocking all these things, may I have the boldness to say, okay, you want to know how these things are working in my life? The very thing you mock and make fun of is the very reason I have these things. Not because of your mocking, but the one you mock. It's my Jesus who's healing. It's my Jesus that's delivering. It's my Jesus that's bringing peace. It's my Jesus that's protecting. It's my Jesus that's bringing. Amen? Amen. To have a boldness. They all wanted this. It wasn't just Peter and John. The church said, "We want this. We need the same boldness our pastors have. We need the same boldness our preachers have." And because they were in unity, God said, "That I'll honor," and showed up, filled that place, and a holy boldness came upon all of them, and they all began to preach the word wherever they went. Amen. And in Jesus' name, I believe that this is that moment in our nation where we're starting to see the same thing, that there is, I believe it, that there is going to be an awakening, and I believe it's happening right now. I think there was a very large reality check to the body of Christ with this whole deal. It wasn't just the assassination. It's everything that happened afterwards. Waking up and saying, "Wait a minute, this goes deeper than just not liking one man. They don't like our God. They're against our Christ." Amen. And I believe it's stirring some people, shaking some people, dealing with some people even this morning. Can you say amen? Amen? So stand with me this morning and lift your hands up to heaven right now. Lift your hands to heaven right now. Father, I thank you. As we stand here in your house, your people, called by your name, we're not playing church. But Lord, you know where we live. Now thank God we live in Gardner. Most of us, you know, are in this area, we're around this area. It is kind of a little pocket, a little almost a bubble in the New England area, where we don't seem to have as many issues as other areas do on that left front, that anti-God front, that anti-Christ, anti-Bible front. But we still live smack dab in the middle of all of this. Lord, we need your anointing, a greater anointing than ever before, to help us to be bolder than ever before, to preach and declare your word, not just in speech, not just on Facebook, not just on all these social sites, but as we go into places, Lord, that we're led by your Spirit, just like Peter and John. When they saw that man, they heard the need, they saw the need, and they heard your Spirit to say, "Today's the day." They weren't ashamed of you. They weren't ashamed of the healing power. They weren't ashamed of the anointing. They weren't ashamed to put themselves out there and put their faith in you. They weren't ashamed of the gospel. Lord, we need that same anointing today, more now than ever before, to deal with our families, to deal with our friends, to deal with the workplaces, to deal with the schools, to deal with the city officials, the government officials. We need that anointing more now today than ever before. We can pray until we're blue in the face for all the other city officials and all that, and we will pray for them, but it's got to start here first. So Lord, today, as the pastor, I'm asking. But as believers, with hands lifted, we're asking you. You hear what they're saying. Give us a fresh anointing today to be bolder and louder than ever before. Whatever platforms we have in our lives, whatever our world is, may we have a holy boldness to preach your gospel wherever we go. To lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons, to bring clarity, to bring stability, to bring peace, all the things that your anointing does. May we have a greater measure of that anointing today. And Lord, we know that anointing only comes by and with the great Holy Spirit. So Lord, today, if there's anybody in here who's never been baptized by the Holy Spirit and they want to, may they just simply reach up as a sign, reach up to heaven and say, Lord, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Fill my life, flood my life, anoint my life with the great Holy Spirit. Every area of my life, bring in that power that only the Holy Spirit can bring. Lord, I'm praying right now as the pastor for those who mock this, insult this. Even those that are, they call this church, they call me their pastor, but they do. They mock the Holy Spirit. Lord, give them revelation of who the person of the Holy Spirit really is and the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in their lives before they mock so far it becomes blasphemy. I'm not judging, Lord, but I'm asking you to deal with even those people today. But Lord, we need a fresh dose of that anointing. We need a fresh power today, a fresh anointing today. But just as your words showed us, they were filled and then they were refilled. The Holy Spirit was upon them and then he came and dealt with them in moments. That's what you do best. You go with us every place we go. But then there's times that you show up in a greater measure. Lord, may we be so sensitive, so familiar with your Spirit that we can sense, we can feel, we know when you're saying, when we're trying to get our attention for whatever it is. It may be just like this, when it was time for that man to receive his healing, when it was time to speak to the magistrates and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and speak your word, not their opinion. When they were bold enough to deal, when Peter was bold enough to deal with the city and in each case say, this is the one whom you hate who did this. Have the right word at the right time, and only your Spirit can help us with that. We need a greater anointing today than ever before to be able to go and do what you called us to do, to climax the ages, for Jesus himself to come back for his church, that we can get this job done and go home in Jesus' name. Help us today. Now, Lord, I speak peace over every one of us. Not only do you hear the threatenings, we hear them. We're not going to live in fear. Lord, stir up in us once again, reminding us of who you are, how big you are, how great you are. Remind us once again of all the times you told us that you'd protect us, you'd keep us. You'd make sure your angels have charge over us. We speak these verses for a reason. It's to build our faith, but Lord, sometimes, even like right now with all these threatenings that we're hearing, everything we're seeing, Lord, I'm asking as a pastor, remind us. Show us once again. Remind us of those times where you protected. Remind us of those times where you showed up. Remind us of those times where you delivered from the snare of the fowler. Remind us of all those things, Lord, that we're not taken off course. We're not shifted. There's no fear here. We're not going to live in fear. We're going to walk in peace. We're going to walk in strength. We're going to walk in joy because our God is with us. Our God is for us. And if God be for us, then who dare be against us? Lord, remind us of these things. Build us up in these things right now for this very hour that we do, that we climax the ages, that we are that glorious and victorious church. We're not ashamed of the gospel. But we're bold and loud for you, Jesus. Help us today. Strengthen us today. Lord, I thank you for healing. During the worship service, Lord, you dealt with some healing things in here. So, Lord, I thank you that you're still working those healing miracles even right now. We speak peace into our bodies, strength into our bodies, life into our bodies, even right now in the name of Jesus. I speak peace and healing to our souls. Where different events and different tragedies and different people because of assignments in life, they've seen, experienced different things that only you can bring healing to those things. So Lord, I speak healing even to our souls right now. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we're leaving today stronger than when we came in here. We're leaving today bolder than when we came in here. And each and every day that we open up our eyes in the morning, we're going to be bolder than we were the day before, stronger than we were the day before, because we are not starting the day without the power of the great Holy Spirit working in our lives. Lord, we thank you for this, and we praise you for this. In the name of Jesus, can everybody say amen?
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.